to our next factoid. The Arizona Palo Verde, the blue Palo Verde, our state tree.
Love this bumper music. It's good stuff. I'm an old blues guy. I go back a long way. This is one of my favorite genres. Well, we have another feature of Palo Verdes. Well, by way of review, the blue Palo Verde is the large, stately, 40-foot-tall specimen we see in our open deserts. There's a little brother to the blue Palo Verde called the little leaf Palo Verde or foothill Palo Verde. And it's a smaller tree that grows on a lot of the hillsides we see all over the Phoenix Mountain Preserve and down at South Mountain. It's the smaller little blue Palo Verde dots the hillsides. It likes a rockier soil, does really well clinging to those rocks. In fact, there's one really cool tree. Those of you who live out near Carefree Highway and I-17, as you go proceed east off the freeway and head around that S-curve on a Carefree Highway, it bends around those
as
mountains.
You're going east to 7th Street?
Yeah, you're heading east towards 7th Street, right. And as you go around that first curve, up on the hillside, there's a granite outcropping, and there's a Palo Verde tree that looks like it's growing right out of the granite. Well, it is. I hiked up to it a year or two ago because I wanted to kind of see where it was growing. It is literally growing right out of the top of that granite. It's worth parking your car or your truck there and taking the little five-minute hike up to look at
it.
And
that's
the foothill. It's really, really cool. Foothill Palo Verde. And it's a great little tree. It's really durable. It actually lives a lot longer. It can live up to 400 years old, whereas the blue Palo Verde has about a 100-year lifespan at the outside. Generally doesn't even live that long, but it can live to be 100 years old. The blue Palo Verde you're going to find down in the sandy river bottoms. It likes a sandier, better drained soil, and it needs a little bit of seasonal water. It's a larger tree, has a higher water demand, so you see it around waterways out in the desert along your washes. Something else I wanted to mention about the blue Palo Verde. Let me see here. It's the Parkinsonia floridum. Oh, I wanted to say it was also selected as Arizona state tree in 1954, which was the year I was born.
Oh, okay. that was what you're searching for.
That's what I was looking for.
So we statehood in 1912. It took till 54 to dedicate
establish
a tree. I thought you had to have these things done ahead of time.
You would think
Or did they switch trees?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We'll have to find somebody who was born before 1954 to help us answer that. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If I can hit the right line, we can bring Dave into the conversation. Talking palm trees. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, John, it's Dave with Gardener's Touch.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Good to hear from you.
Good, thanks. I'm on my way over to trim some date palms at a client's house. And one of the, you know when they get very narrow in one spot? I've got one or two at this property that's like that, and I've never been able to figure out why. And the bigger question is, how stable is it, as the trees get bigger?
Well, generally that occurs at the time the tree was transplanted. It was probably the height of where that little hourglass occurs in the trunk. And what Dave's referring to is that if you look at the trunk of some palm trees, midway up the trunk, you'll see a very narrow spot where the tree goes in, kind of like an hourglass, and then it gets wider. Generally, that occurred when the tree was transplanted during a time of transition. The tree didn't do as well. The roots weren't established, and it gets a little smaller. The actual head of the tree is smaller, and then as a tree gets established the next year or two, it puts on more growth, and the trunk gets wider. And good question about stability, Dave. We've seen some of those trees break off at that point. We had a few that were, we actually recommended the trees be removed because the hourglass was at about 40 feet up an 80-foot tall tree. And after we climbed those, it's really scary to be climbing above 40 feet above a structural weakness in the tree with the potential of that whole 40-foot top coming out. So, you have to be kind of careful. If you can trim them with a bucket truck or some other means so you don't have to be working above that hourglass area, it's certainly going to be safer for you.
Yeah, that's, we use bucket truck on all these trees. They've never been spiked since they got here about 15 years ago. So, but that's one that it is getting down there a little ways. And I'm more concerned about the safety of, you know, the people around because it's in a residence and you know.
Yeah, and that every year you're going to be, you know, the trees will grow a foot or two and you're getting more and more weight. You know, this time of year, of course, try to get you're getting your dates out at a good time. You don't want to wait too much longer because this year you might have 300 pounds of dates up there, but in another month you'll have 600 or 800 pounds because the dates get larger in size and could put a lot of stress on that weakness on the trunk.
That's a lot of weight. Dave, we appreciate the call. Have fun trimming those palm trees. Let's see what Randy's working on this morning at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Randy, welcome. All right. Well, we will come back to Randy in a little bit. Looking at our letters here real quick, Stacy was writing in and wanted to know, does a dogwood tree work well? You had mentioned earlier about not putting a Palo Verde next to a pool because it could get very messy when it drops its flowers. Why does that apply? Stacy's looking for something to put next to her pool that doesn't have an invasive root system, a little cleaner on the drop, and really just had her heart set on a dogwood. Is that something worth trying?
You know, I get these questions from time to time, people who've enjoyed dogwoods. Dogwood is a beautiful flowering tree. It doesn't do real well here in Arizona. There's several other trees that people enjoyed maybe back in the Midwest, and they want to know if a redbud will do well here or if a dogwood will do well. And for the most part, I would say no. You might find a microclimate, a protected area in a yard, maybe a north exposure of the house where you have a little bit of a shade from larger trees where you might want to, you could successfully introduce a ginkgo or a dogwood or something like that. And I have some of my customers have a few ginkgos, which are kind of a beautiful thing to be able to get one of these trees that don't normally grow in our area. But you do have a few challenges in keeping them healthy and getting them to grow to maturity.
Appreciate you writing in. Dave also wrote in and having a heck of a time with queen palms. He planted them 3 years ago. They never grew, but they never died. He just got tired of it, so he ripped them out. Figured they were defective. 5 months ago, put in some new ones. Has hit them with fertilizer. They're greening. They're not dying, but they're not growing.
Yeah, the fact that you put fertilizer down and they greened up right away is that's going to happen. Even if you don't have good cultural conditions, that is a site conditions, soil conditions are not great, you can put fertilizer on a tree and the immediate uptake will give you a good push of green. But if the site conditions are not there, the cultural conditions are not ideal and optimum, you're not going to get long-term successful healthy growth. I would investigate to see if you do have a hard pan, maybe some caliche. I know queen palms like a well-drained, sandier soil. You see queen palms in San Diego growing down near the beach in nice, sandy, loamy soil that are growing 40, 50 feet tall. You know, you come here and people just, you know, queen palms struggle here in Arizona. I just don't recommend them going in. They do well for about 8 years. Quite often after about 8 years, they start to develop a lot of health problems, nutrient demands. They do like a well-drained soil, and they like adequate soil space to continue sending out their roots. So I would do some investigation, maybe get an arborist to come out and do an analysis of your soil and see if you've got some problems there.
If he set on the queen palm, you know, arborist route, because he's obviously got some challenges, but what would be something else he should be looking at that might work better?
Well, any of
are
the,
there some other palm varieties?
Any of the fan palms, the Mexican or the California fan palm, the date palms do really, really well here. They're acclimated to this climate. They just seem to thrive. You can't do much. I mean, you can throw a palm tree in the ground and it will grow. Queen palms are one of those plants that just have a little more requirements. They have soil and nutrient requirements that aren't met in our native soils here. So you have to be supplementing with regular fertilizing and soil amendments to keep them healthy.
Back in March when we were talking trees, somebody called in with an Oro Blanco. Do you remember that? It was a type of citrus and we weren't sure the exact cross. Well, right. Bill in Tucson has one. And he says it's a cross between a Texas Red and a Palomino. He said they're very large and very sweet.
Well, thank you for that tip. We needed that. Appreciate that. Callers phoning in and giving us a little bit of heads up. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
We get some of our best treasures that way.
We do.
All right. Every line is full at 1-888-767-4348. On today's tree, Sue wants to talk about the blue Palo Verde. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited you're talking about the blue Palo Verde this morning because I have some questions about this beautiful tree I have in my front yard. I bought it at the Boyce Thompson Arboretum as a baby about 7 years ago. It's doing beautifully. However, the trunk has a lot of scaling, and I know when it was small, the trunk had that beautiful color. It doesn't seem to have that anymore. I don't know if there's a problem with it. And the other thing is, when it grows right now, there are so many, I guess I would call them suckers, all over the place. So I kind of needed some help with pruning it.
Well, as far as the scaling bark is concerned, that can be just a function of it, just the sun, you know, making that bark a little bit rougher mm-hmm. in texture as it matures and gets larger in diameter. That bark will often lose that nice shiny smooth texture. The water sprouts that you're describing are little shoots that emerge from the main trunk and the trunk and the main branch, lower branches primarily. And they really play a vital role in the health of the tree. I would say when you're getting to 7 years now, you can start to thin them out. I wouldn't remove them all. I actually like to, you know, select a few of them that have a nice outward orientation or that grow into a void inside the tree somewhere. So you can actually rebuild a little bit of the architecture down in the lower part of the tree, which you'll want to have later in the life of the tree. Again, depending on how you're planning to use the tree and be walking around it. But at 7 years, you can start to remove some of those water sprouts. But remember, they shade the interior from sun, and all those water sprouts are photosynthesizing and carrying sugars and starches back to their points of attachment, helping the parent branch to develop diameter growth. So, you know, those small stems in there are actually helping develop caliper on the main stems that they're attached to, which is important for them to be able to support the increasing end weight as the tree matures. So don't be stripping out all those water sprouts on the lower part of your tree prematurely. You can take some of them out, but try to leave some of them in because they have a vital role in the health of the tree.
Sue, we appreciate the call. We've got Randy in Phoenix back online with this Tipu tree, Ken in Cave Creek, again on the blue Palo Verde. It's losing its branches. And then we've got Northern Arizona caller on the NQ getting screened. So we'll get all those after the break for our organic gardeners. If you're looking for a way to control those insects, it's Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and this works on all types of insects in an organic fashion, so you don't have to worry about using this product and that product to try and capulate killing everything. Bonide's Captain Jack's All Organic is available in liquid concentrate, ready to use, and what I use, the ready to spray container that actually just plugs right onto your hose. Hit it every 2 weeks and our container garden is bug free. You can find it all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Plant Fair Nursery for our Pace and Star Valley residents, and Viola's Flower Garden on Route 66. That's Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, a trusted name since 1926.